podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Autosport Podcast. We look back at the second day of pre-season Formula One testing and ask what we've learned from the running so far. Sebastian Vettel topped the second day of pre-season Formula One testing at Barcelona for Ferrari, a best time of 1 minute 19.673 using the soft Pirellis. That pipped Valtteri Bottas, whose time is set on the mediums, at 1 minute 19.976 seconds, with McLaren's Stoffel Vandoorne in third place using the Hypersoft, the new ultra-soft compound, but the new softest compound Pirelli's introduced this year, with a 1 minute 20.325. I'm your host, Ed Straw, and joining me to have a look back at what we've learnt from the chilly Barcelona. First up, we have Lawrence Barreto. Now, Lawrence, of the three people on this podcast, it's fair to say you're the boniest. So I think you're the one who will have been most chilly in the snow and cold today. It was just below zero when we started our live coverage on Autosport.com today.
It was freezing. I could feel it in my bones. That was even with a woolly hat and my red scarf, which you gave me so much abuse for today, Ed.
The red scarf was very ostentatious.
Not as much as my yellow shoes.
That's very true. But as you pointed out, you then got a hot neck.
I did, yeah. Sweaty. I can't believe this is what we were chatting about at the media centre. But there wasn't much going on track, was there?
Exactly. Well, how much time was spent at the F1 circuit today talking about the weather? Quite a lot.
Too much. It was very British, wasn't it?
Exactly. And talking of the weather, Gary Anderson, now you did spend a little bit of time trackside when you braved the cold. So able to keep an eye on a few cars, but quite a tricky day in terms of the track conditions.
Yeah, it was very, very tricky. I mean, it got up to about 4 degrees, I think, was the best, and it's really difficult to get the temperature into the tyres. I mean, once the tyres had got up to temperature and got sort of a bit of bite, then it wasn't so bad. But one little mistake in one corner, and you know, it meant you paid the price for three or four, half a lap, even, to be honest, just because you just hadn't got the grip. So tricky for everybody. I mean, in the morning, nobody really ran, to be honest, and then about lunchtime, out went Valtteri Bottas, and he got the times down to a reasonable level, and then because of that, other people started to run a little bit, and you know, it did start to be productive, but it was very cold out in the track. It was absolutely freezing, and I didn't have a scarf.
Exactly, not very well prepared, and we've just had to battle through the snow to get to our top secret studio to record this, so it's not looking great for tomorrow. Lawrence, on the subject of the weather, which seems to be everyone's favourite subject, there was some talk about this test being extended or next week's test having a day added and one lost here. What's actually going on? I know Williams have the circuit booked for Friday for a filming day and Ferrari on Saturday. So are we going to see any change, or are the teams just going to have to put up with it?
Well, the teams initially started talking about this yesterday, about the possibility of moving, extending the test into Friday. But as many of the team bosses said, Williams have a film day on Friday, so unless they agree to move their day, and they are under no obligation to actually move if they don't want to, they're in a bit of a bind. Sunday and Monday are free if they want to move the test, but a lot of people have travel plans, a lot of people are flying back to the UK and back again, so that would cause problems. At the moment, as it stands, we're going to go to the circuit tomorrow, test as we expect to, and the test will finish as we expected on Thursday.
Well, Gary, most of the time during today, you've been of the mind of the teams just need to get on with it and make the best of it. So what have the teams been doing and what have we learned from the outside? It's a very amorphous competitive picture. Normally 2 days in, we've normally got a bit more of a feel, but there's nothing really sticking out as an overwhelming storyline as yet, even though there's a lot of stuff bubbling along under the surface.
A lot of stuff bubbling under the surface, but I think what you could say is that all 10 teams have had reasonable running so far. You know, in the last couple of years, 3 or 4 years really, to be honest, we've had some teams that really struggled to get any laps, and like McLaren last year were struggling here. But most teams have got a reasonable amount of laps, and so most teams have made sure all the systems on the cars are working all okay. Yes, it's not been as productive as it could have been, but again, it would sort of just be the same if it had ended up being just wet, you know, just a normal wet day. There'd been better running done, but it wouldn't really have been that productive. At least it has been dry, difficult to get the temperature into the tyres, difficult to manage the car basically as far as car temperature is concerned, all that sort of stuff. But it has been dry enough for it to run and, you know, run at a reasonable pace. So I think we are seeing a picture that the Ferrari and the Mercedes are, you know, pretty good cars. The Red Bull, again, Verstappen was running today, but they had a little bit of a fuel leak problem in the morning and didn't really get running until lunchtime. But that didn't really matter because nobody else really ran because it was so cold. But at the end of the day, he would feel a bit vexed because, you know, he should have been able to go out running if he'd wanted to. It's a different deal when you make a choice not to run because the weather's bad, but to be forced not to run because you get a fuel leak is a, it sort of niggles a little bit at you. But at the end of the day, I spoke to his dad and Jos Verstappen, and he said that Max was very pleased with the car. He felt it was a better car than the end of last year was. It's got better grip and all the aerodynamic specifications from the wind tunnel and stuff. It seems to be achieving that on the track as best they can measure. So they're looking forward to it. So hopefully that's another car in the mix. And again, the McLaren's a bit deceiving. It looks pretty good on the track, but they are running the super softs and ultra soft tyres more than anybody else. So they're, in theory, they should be getting a bit more grip out of the tyre. But it's very hard to know because of these conditions, because some of these tyres work at different temperature ranges. So because they're a new range of tyres, I don't think anybody's got a real black and white figure of what the time difference is from compound to compound. We could use last year, which you could sort of average out at like half a second. So you could easily add up and say, well, the McLaren's about a second slower than the Ferrari is, or a bit more than that because of the tyre just. So, but you'd just be inventing numbers, and there's no point in doing that just yet till we get a bit more concrete evidence as to what's going on. But the McLaren looks good on the track. And then the smaller teams, they're struggling a little bit more. It's just, you know, the car's moving around a bit more. The fact is pretty straightforward. They have less money, less budget, less people, less everything. So they can't exploit the aerodynamic package as to as high a level. And because of that, then you just can't get the downforce in the car. And because of that, you can't get the tyre temperature. So it's all pretty black and white what's happening. It's just the way life is, to be honest.
Talking of McLaren, Lawrence, you spoke to Stoffel Vandoorne after today's running. Just 37 laps for McLaren. Yesterday, they had the mishap with the right rear wheel coming off of Fernando Alonso, pitching him into the gravel at the last corner. So what went wrong today?
Today, the exhaust detached. It was just a clip that broke, but the result was there was an issue with the overheating that damaged the wire loom, so they wanted to just double-check that. It's just one thing after another, unfortunately, for McLaren, but Stoffel seemed in quite good spirits, considering the amount of time that they spent in the garage today. He talked about the laps that he did get. He was pretty pleased with the feel and the initial feel of the car. And that can only bode well. It's not often that you spoke to Stoffel last year and he was in that good a mood. So I suppose for him, it was quite refreshing that he felt that, you know, considering all things that had happened today, he felt pretty good.
Now, Gary, we talked yesterday about the little finger trouble mishap for McLaren, and there's another one in a similar ballpark today by the sounds of it. Is that a little bit worrying if you see these little problems, or is, as Fernando Alonso saying, is it McLaren just unfortunate that it has had some high-profile mishaps when others are all still having similar issues?
You know, everybody probably has some little issues here and there, but nobody's really spent the time in the garage that the McLaren has. And as you say, finger problems, that is the issue. You can always say it's better to have them now than in Melbourne, but at the end of the day, that you've got to get on top of all that sort of stuff. And, you know, Red Bull lost a lot of races last year because of finger problems, and today they had a bit of a fuel leak. So again, they're struggling a little bit with that side of things. But reliability now is, you know, it's got to be a given. You've got to get it, because at the end of the day, you must make it to the checkered flag to score the points. So they've really got to get on top of these finger problems. And as I say, it's just a clip on the exhaust system. But because it's a turbo unit, basically a clip breaks an exhaust system because it's under pressure. It's not like a normal exhaust system, which is open-ended. It's under pressure. And then you just lose all the power. So, as I say, better to happen now than in Melbourne, but maybe they'd need to take a trip to Halfords and get a new Jubilee clip.
Well, they've got the right colour, haven't they, for Halfords?
Yeah, it's all the right colour.
Brand synergy, they'd call it, wouldn't they? I'm sure that's what Zach Brown would describe it as. Now, looking at what we have seen of the performance, you did a piece on Autosport in the Plus section, the subscriber area, looking at what we learned from today or what we didn't learn given the conditions. But one of the things you did was comparing the average performance in the final four races of last season to get a kind of end-of-year performance level with what we've seen over the 2 days of testing so far. Now, the interesting thing is there, Toro Rosso came out on top, just under 0.7% stronger. But as you pointed out, Toro Rosso had a pretty torrid end to last season, with both new drivers and lots of grid penalties and that kind of thing. So maybe not the most accurate picture, although things do seem to be going well with Honda. But Renault, just under 0.6% stronger. The cars look decent on track, not quite up there with the elite, but they've racked up the miles. They seem fairly confident on that side. So where do you think Renault is at as a team?
Yes, I mean, it's made a step forward for sure. Now, how much of that's in the power unit, I don't know. We're not hearing, I suppose, great things about the development of the power unit. They're even talking now about having to take some penalties during the season, strategically planned, which is true, because you're only allowed three power units now for the whole season, and that's really a bit tough, to be honest, for anybody. So planning when you're going to take these penalties is one thing to do, because there are some tracks where you can come from the back and overtake a bit. But to be planning it before the season even starts is probably just a little bit sort of negative, I think. It sends a negative vibe through the whole system. But the car itself, again, you know, it's one of these sort of situations where you don't know the fuel loads. However, they should be professional enough not to be trying to con themselves, because it's so easy to get caught up in enthusiasm doing a good time, and you're running the car on the sniff of an oily rag, and that does nobody any good whatsoever. So I think they've probably been genuine with themselves, and I think they have made good progress. The car looks decent on the track. I wouldn't say it looks as decent as I say the Red Bull or the Ferrari or the McLaren, because it does look very, very good. And the time I'm talking about looking at the car is when they're trying to get the tyres up to temperature, when the car's still not got the grip level. Those three cars are very, very planted. Now, even the Mercedes is a bit wayward when they're trying to get the temperatures up in the tyres. It's a bit understeery or a bit snappy, oversteery. Whereas on those other three cars, they're just planted. They're very, very good. They might not just be going as quick as they could do around as complex of corners that I look at, but they're very stable. And that's what gives the driver confidence to push that a little bit more. If the car's moving around on you, then you just don't have the confidence. And if you don't have the confidence, you don't go as quick. And if you don't go as quick, you don't get the tyre temperature. So it's a spiral. And as I say, the Renault is not, doesn't look quite as poised as these other cars, but obviously it does bring in the lap time. So I think they've made a step forward. Have they joined the back of this front pack, or have they just sort of got in front of the mid pack? Because there's a big window there, a big gap to fill in. But it's going to be a tough season for like Force India, who finished fourth in the championship the last 2 years. That's not going to be an easy task now with Renault doing a strong job, and with McLaren looking as though they're doing a strong job. That fourth place could be a pretty coveted position.
Absolutely, it's going to be a pretty tight battle there. Now, Lawrence, looking back at the front, Lewis Hamilton was due to be in the Mercedes today. He's going to split the day with Valtteri Bottas, but Bottas stayed on throughout the whole day. So what was going on there?
Well, last year during the tests, Mercedes took the decision to split the days, so Lewis would do half a day, Valtteri would do another half a day, and they've continued that this year. Bottas was in the car for the first part of today, and Lewis says that he took the decision to sacrifice his time in the car in order to give the team an extra hour of running during the day. So what happened today was, because of the bad weather, they cancelled the lunch break. They are allowed an extra hour of running time during the day. And that meant that if Mercedes had done this seat change, they would have lost that out, the extra hour that they effectively were given of running. And with the weather quite unpredictable for the afternoon, no one really knows what's going on with the weather here. He didn't want to take the risk, he says, in them waiting that hour to get him in the car. So he said, look, let Bottas stay in for the rest of the day. What will be interesting to see is whether they give Lewis that half day back at any point in the next couple of days or even into next week to make up for that, or if he's being genuine in that he didn't, you know, he doesn't mind giving up that half a day.
But you were surprised by this, weren't you, Gary? Because Lewis seemed to be struggling a little bit on Monday with getting the tyre temperature right and the car wasn't flowing a great deal. So you're a little bit surprised that he wasn't taking the chance to get in the car again today.
Yeah, I mean, he should, you know, he should want to get back in the car. And I know there's a bit of time loss changing the pedals and the seat belts and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, the you know, the weather forecast for tomorrow is terrible. That was running in until Thursday morning as well. And the temperature here, if the track's wet, you know, come Thursday morning, it'll probably be 6 o'clock at night before it dries. So there's a very good chance the rest of this test could all be run in damp conditions. And for Lewis, I think coming out of the car on Monday night after his afternoon session, I would have thought he'd wanted to get back in again because, you know, he wasn't driving the car with confidence. And you need to do that. But, you know, who knows what's happened inside the team and what their decisions were. Maybe he'll get a bit more time next week, and next week the weather's theoretically going to be in the teens, which is a lot better than it is currently here. So that'll be more productive. But still, you know, I think that you make a plan, you stick to that plan, and that plan should have been to do half days each, which is quite a nice way of doing it, because at least you get a reasonable comparison of feedback from two drivers on one day in a similar package of conditions, you know, because, you know, the days keep changing. From day to day, it can be quite different, but from morning to afternoon, it's probably pretty reasonably consistent.
Especially seeing as other teams have taken the same approach, haven't they? Renault now splitting days, Williams have been as well. So with the mileage, generally, people are getting in. Maybe it's been a bit restricted because of the weather, but that's a normal thing to do. It's a hell of a workload for these drivers, particularly in the cars that have been a lot more demanding to drive since last season in terms of the loads, etc. Now, one interesting driver we saw today was Robert Kubica in the Williams. He drove in the afternoon. It's another one for you, Lawrence. Obviously, you heard from Kubica in the post-session chat. So what was it that led Kubica to say he was a little bit too honest about the limitations he had previously? He seems to be wanting to draw a line under the kind of recovery thing and just talk about what he's doing as a driver now.
Well, the interest in Robert Kubica remains when he walked out of the back of the garage into the media pen area that they've got arranged just behind the trucks. A lot of his fans were up on the balcony chanting, and he gave them a wave. So you can just see the interest in Robert being around Formula One is there. The story has changed a little bit in his mind. He feels that he, you know, the talk of limitations and his ability to drive an F1 car has been completed because he feels he's been made reserve driver, and therefore there's a belief within Williams in which he has the ability to do that. So there was a line of questioning today whereby he was asked about whether his limitations are still an issue and whether he feels that that's still holding him back. Another question was asked about whether he's made any changes to the car about it. And at that point, he just said, look, he's basically sick of talking about his limitations because he feels he's got a job. He's been given this gig and he feels that the team believe in him. And he said that he perhaps has been too honest in the way that he's talked about the troubles and the difficulties he's faced all the way through last year as he bid to return to Formula One. And he just wants to stop talking about it. So this is the first time since he's come back where he's dealt with question very well up until this point. And this was the first time he cracked. So it's very interesting to see how he deals with this going forward and whether the line of questioning will change as we move through this test.
Well, the bottom line with him is it's just about performance now, isn't it? He's got to prove to Williams or via Williams to another team that he's worth putting into the car for a race drive. So we know he can drive, whether he's got that last 0.5% after the time away. And yes, we do have to say with the limitation is down for him to prove. So I guess that's the test for him. Now, Gary, summing up, we've got a Ferrari and a Mercedes at the top of the timesheets. We've got some very gentle indications of what the performance order might be. What would you say we're seeing? Is there anything to say this isn't just going to be another Ferrari versus Mercedes championship battle? And within that, is there anything to say Ferrari may have taken that consistent step needed to be a challenger to Mercedes week in, week out?
Well, I just, as I say, 2 days in, it's tough with these conditions. But, you know, all you can do is look at the cars that are out in the track and how they sort of behave and the confidence they're given to the driver. Because, you know, one of these cars, they're pretty quick. You're braking, you know, five or six G, and your cornering forces are up in the 4G region. You know, they've got nigh on 1,000 horsepower. So they're you know, lethal pieces of kit. And the more confidence that car can feed back to the driver, the more the driver is able to sort of get confidence in it and push. And I, you know, I do see the Ferrari as being a car that's inspiring confidence in the driver, as much as I saw in it last year, you know, and maybe even a little bit more. I like the aerodynamic package they've got on their car isn't, as I've said many times, isn't as sophisticated as what's on the Mercedes at the minute. But I think that bodes well for them in a way, because it, hopefully that will mean that the actual aerodynamic flow is a bit more robust. And when they're in traffic, you know, following another car, the car won't lose so much downforce. And that makes for good racing. So we can only hope that they're close in competition between the two of them. And I do genuinely think the Red Bull will join that club. Last year they were there on a few occasions and, you know, deserved to probably do a lot better than they did, because of the reliability problems. But I think that this time they will be in the mix. And once you get that, you know, heading out into Q3, if there's six cars there that can qualify on pole, it changes the dynamic. It changes the dynamic of the team, and it changes the dynamic of the driver as to what, you know, how you have to push the car to the limit. And if that happens, then little mistakes can creep in and you get a bit better mix. Will some of the other teams join those three? I don't think they'll be right on them, but I think the gap to the fourth running team as such will be closer than last year. And again, that might change the dynamic in the middle pack. So that's what we can hope for. It might end up still being a bit of two races, but at the end of the day, that's okay as long as it's, you know, close fighting. And it does look like the Ferrari is stronger than last year. It does look like the Mercedes is probably very similar to last year. Its tendencies at the track here in Barcelona is a bit similar to what it was last year. It was a bit nervous. It didn't really seem to be that comfortable a car to drive. It's quick for sure, but just it needed a bit more driving. As I say, Red Bull need to start strongly, and it looks as though they can.
Well, we're going to find out a little bit more tomorrow about what's going on, if the sleet and snow, well, I was going to say stays away. It looks like it's going to come early in the morning, and then hopefully we'll get some running as the day goes on. Of course, you can follow all the coverage on autosport.com. We'll have all the news and reports. Autosport Live gives you minute-by-minute updates about what's going on with expert insight from the likes of Gary Anderson. And also our Plus subscriber area, which has our in-depth features about goings-on and our analysis of what the times might be telling us. And remember also to pick up a copy of Autosport magazine, out every Thursday. So thanks very much for joining us. We'll be back soon with another Autosport podcast. Music is 6 AM by Trelo, written by Marcus Simmons. See soundcloud.com/Trelo Music.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
As fall fills up with activities and obligations, even a small time saver can feel like a big help. Grammarly is an all-in-one writing tool that makes clear, concise communication easier than ever, so you can finish your work earlier and head off to family dinners, social events, and fall weddings. Grammarly is free to download and works where you do, so every project gets finished quicker. Make sure your writing is free of mistakes with Grammarly's free, comprehensive writing suggestions, and get an instant take on how your message comes across with the free tone detector. Let Grammarly Premium's sentence clarity rewrites help you find the perfect words on the first try. You'll be confident writing client emails, deadline-driven reports, and presentations without staying late at the office. Get more time back in your day by writing with Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/podcasts to sign up for a free account. Then get 20% off when you're ready to upgrade to Grammarly Premium. That's grammarly.com/podcasts.
Sports Social Podcast Network.